Vasudevaya. Okay, we were discussing that Brahman is a vibhuti nirvishesha of Bhagavan, an opulence of the Supreme Lord, but an impersonal opulence. Curious, the word vibhuti is often used for Krishna's material opulences, his opulent representations of the material world. Tata cha vibhuti prasanga eva. And so, in the context of describing his opulences, the Lord says, this is the material opulences now. The Lord says, where does he say it? Hold on a second. Nine is Bhagavatam, 11th canto. We have the 10th canto in the Gita, but the 16th chapter of the 11th canto. Could you go ask them to not talk during class? It's actually a guest, but tell them we have a class. 11th canto. 16th chapter, Krishna also tells Uddhava about his material opulences. So, similar description. Krishna tells Uddhava, Prithivi vayur akasha apo jyotiraham mahan vikara purusho vyaktam rajam satvam tamak param. Uddhava is told by Krishna, I am form, taste, aroma, touch, and sound. False ego, the Mahatattva, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. The living entity, material nature, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and the supreme. Okay, well, the jiva is on the list, and Brahman's on the list. It's not all material. And the commentary says, Tika cha. Srila Swami's commentary, Param Brahma Cha Ityesha. The commentary says the Supreme means Brahma. So, listed by Krishna among his opulences. Commentary. Krishna mentions Brahma in this verse along with several of his own material opulences. This does not mean to suggest, however, that the impersonal Supreme is also material. In this other verse, in the other verses of this listing by Krishna of his opulences, he includes a number of spiritual opulences of himself as well, including himself by the name Vasudeva. He's got himself on the list of opulences. His incarnations, Vamana, Kapila, Ananta, Shesh, Narayan, Rishi. So this is a bigger listing than in the Bhagavad Gita. We've got opulences including Vamana, Kapila, Ananta, Shesh, Narayan, Rishi, and Krishna, Dvaipayana, Vyas. The finite spirit soul. The sacred syllable Om and the Vedic meter Gayatri. The holy river Ganga. And his pure devotees, Lord Shiva, Narada, Prahlad, Sanat Kumar, Uddhava, Hanuman, Bali, and Arjuna. Okay, questions or comments? Yes. Well, then it's not, strictly speaking, just a list of material opulences. Even the Gita, Vrishninam Vasudeva, among the Vrishninam Vasudevas, is also there. So opulences, more generally, all kinds of opulences.
We can understand that Krishna is thinking in the Ayurveda about the devotees, as his opulence today, he says that by the devotees,
yes. Well, but Vasudeva is a Chaturvyuha expansion of Krishna. He doesn't say Krishna, he says Vasudeva. So it's still an expansion. It's a Swamsha expansion. No, it's Krishna talking about his expansion of Vasudeva. Krishna, well, actually it's not. The Bhagavad Gita is, in both cases, Krishna and Dwarka talking about himself. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he just puts himself on the list. Okay, but yeah, he's an opulence, but then he's an opulence of what? Yeah. If Krishna is not the supreme, what is? Yeah. You have to give me the answer, then what is Krishna an opulence of? Beside himself. It's not really. Yeah. Then you got to answer, okay, what is the real supreme, then, if not Krishna? Okay. But he is. You know, Arjuna is such a special devotee that he's a special treasure of Krishna, values him as a devotee.
And
he doesn't mind making his devotee feel good to tell him that, and also it's true.
If he just mentioned that how great I am, that he's just listing great thing, then he can count even Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he has so many things, you know.
Yes.
He was also a great devotee.
So you're questioning why Arjuna, not Yudhishthira?
Yeah.
Well, there's different opinions about who's the greatest in the Pandavas. The Madhvites say that Bhima is the greatest. But Krishna says, I like Arjuna. Sorry. He's got a special relationship with Arjuna. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. I want to mention one more thing.
Yes. Yes. So he's the most important person in the Mahabharata.
Do we take this literally or figuratively?
Which?
That Krishna is Arjuna.
No. Krishna's not Arjuna, he's not a shark, he's not an elephant, you know.
A lion.
Yeah, or a lion. He's a lion among men, but that doesn't make him a lion. Okay. Did you know?
This Paracha Brahmacha translated as
yeah, that's
Brahman is para is Brahman.
Yes.
That Brahman is refers to which one? Absolute truth or impersonal? I think it is impersonal. How do you?
You're making a difference. Yeah, Brahma can be used in a very general sense to be the absolute truth, like the Vedanta Sutra is talking about a tattva, Brahma Jigyasa, and that doesn't mean we only want to talk about impersonal aspect and nothing else. That's not what the Vedanta Sutra means. We want to know the absolute truth, everything about the absolute truth, including its personality. That's the real intention of Vyasa in the Vedanta Sutra. But that's like Vedanta terminology. Normally, when you say the word Brahma, you're talking about the impersonal aspect. In normal. Yeah.
Impersonal Brahma.
Yeah, because otherwise it's not very specific. Just the supreme Krishna is the supreme, you know. So, what's the sense of putting something on the list of his opulences if it doesn't refer to anything specifically? So the supreme truth in general is less specific than supreme truth in personal aspect. So it's pretty certain that in this context it means the impersonal aspect. Otherwise, there's not much sense of being on the list. Everything else on the list is very specific.
Yeah, but the translation is, for Brahman is the supreme.
Oh, well, that's my translation. Oh, no, that's, well, it is my translation, but it's from the 11th canto. Do you think we should change that?
I don't know, supreme is...
Yeah, because what we did is they gave the verse, padam, just looking at the word, and in the dictionary, all you know is it means supreme. And then the commentary tells us exactly what it means. So we let Sridhar Swami clear it up in his commentary. I give a translation, just translating the words, and then Sridhar Swami explains it for us. Supreme means Brahman. If I put Brahman in the translation, then Sridhar Swami sounds like he's not saying anything, because we already said Brahman. But we make the translation not exactly specific, and then let Sri Aswami make it specific.
Okay. For this commentary on the first time, Krishna mentions Brahman in this verse along with his own material opulences. So, even where is he going to explain? Where Sri Aswami is going to explain? Further future commentary?
No, Krishna is. I'm sorry?
Krishna
where?
Mentions Brahman in this verse.
Yeah, doesn't he? By the word Param.
But in the commentary also, it is not explained.
Is not explained.
In a sense, that Brahman is impersonal reference.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there really confusion here? Normally, Brahman means impersonal aspect of the Supreme. Normally.
Yeah. Because I heard.
The thing is, in context. The last several interchanges we've been talking about the impersonal Supreme. We're in that context.
Yeah.
That's what
we're
talking about.
I just confused the translation. He mentioned this supreme means Brahman, and that's what we also understand commentary also. Brahman means the supreme. So who is the supreme? I don't know. Is going to explain in future for Sridhar Swami next chapter?
No. That's all he says. Param, the word param in the verse means Brahman. Sridhar Swami didn't have to deal with the English translation.
Yeah.
He's dealing with the word Param and telling us it means Brahman, that's all. And maybe I'm creating confusion by saying and the Supreme, but that's what the dictionary meaning of the word Param. But the commentary has to tell us in the context it specifically means this, Brahman.
So the commentary will start now?
I'm sorry?
The commentary will be following now?
No. We're done. That's all. What else do you... I'm sorry. This is an unsettled question?
No, I mean to say that...
This is the excerpt from the commentary. These three words are from Sridhar Swami's commentary. And the rest of the commentary we're not given now. That's all. That's all we get. Is it okay the way it is, or does it need to be further explained? Or is something wrong? I think it's okay. All right. If you think about it and decide that something has to be changed, let me know later, before we print the book. Okay, next paragraph. Ata eva Sri Vaishnava Sampradayikai Srimad Bir Alam Andaracharya Mahanubhava Charanayar Apyuktam. Thus the revered saint of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Alamandar Acharya. It's like a Bengali pronunciation. No, but it's spelled, but you're going to sign with an M, sorry.
you can change,
it's an alternative form of his name. It's okay, it's Bengali. Alambuddhara Acharya has also said, yadandam, this is his verse, yadandam andantara gocharam yadichayad dashotaranyavaranadiyadicha gunat pradhanam purushat param param parat param brahma chate vibhutayaha. So here he, Yuvanacharya puts Brahma, Param and Brahma, the two words together. So Alambuddharacharya, who is Yuvanacharya, says, the egg of the universe, whatever is found in that egg, its 10 concentric coverings, the modes of nature, nature in her primeval form, her controlling Lord, his supreme abode, and the absolute supreme Brahman, all these are your opulent expansions. I wonder who he's talking to there. Okay. Even Narayan is one of the opulences. Well, the Sri Vaishnavas talk about four or five different forms of the supreme, and Param is the term. Right, but that Param refers to the Tarekatma, the original form of Narayan.
Paravasudeva.
Yeah, Paravasudeva, the original Vasudeva.
Yeah.
That's the Param. And the Sri Vaishnava terminology, that's different. And it's also, I think it's masculine, Paraha. I think so. Okay. Continuing. Aingashutavapi tadganapati dvaina shriyate. Esha purusha, esha prakritir, esha atmaisha, brahmaisha, loka isha, aloka isha, yosau adir, adir anadir, anto nantaha, paramapara vishvarupaha iti. And in the Painga Shruti, Brahman is also, I'm going to put a comma here, because it sounds like a book called Painga Shruti Brahman. So in the Painga Shruti comma, Brahman is also heard of among the Lord's entourage. Avarana, in the context of Pancharatric worship, means the entourage, the associates of the deity. So the Painga Shruti says, he is the Purusha, he is material nature, he is the soul, he is Brahman, he is the visible world, he is the invisible world. And the same Lord Hari is the beginningless beginning, the endless end, the supreme beyond the supreme, the form of the total universe. So the supreme beyond the supreme. Okay, commentary. Oh, wait, before that, one more sentence. Sri Bhagavan, the verse under discussion, and that is 11:16:37, was spoken by the personality of Godhead. That's the verse that was spoken to Uddhava at the beginning of the Anuchet. Commentary. Alambuddhara is the Tamil name of Yuvanacharya, the predecessor guru of Sri Ramanuja. It's not really Tamil?
It is Tamil only, but it's supposed to be not Ma, it's Va, Alambuddhara.
Which one's Va?
Ala is Ma, the letter Ma is Va.
Va or Ba?
In Bengali it becomes Ba, because Vrindavan, Vrindavan they call
it. Vrindavan. But actually in Tamil it's pronounced Va?
Yeah, it's Ala Vanda. Vanda means one is coming. Ala means to rule. So
could you check on this? Whether Alambuddhara is acceptable Tamil, or whether it's just a Bengali variation on it? Because
no,
I should say that. If it's not really his Tamil, then I shouldn't say it's a Tamil name. It's a variant of his Tamil name. Then.
It is the original Tamil name is Alambuddhara.
Okay. How about if I say this? Alambuddhara is a variation of the Tamil name.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is. I mean, that's what.
Yeah.
That's the word that Jiva Goswami chose to use. So it's a variation. Maybe it's a. It's not. Maybe it's not grammatical in Tamil itself, but it's a Bengali variation.
Yeah.
It's a variation of the Tamil name of Yamunacharya, the predecessor guru of Sri Ramanuja. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have to get into a whole discussion of Tamil grammar here. Okay.
Is one letter different?
Yeah. Yes,
ma'am. Here the Paimba Shruti is mentioned.
Yeah.
So, can you explain in Vedas where it, this part of Vedas, it includes like the Vedas, the Upanishads, and then the four Vedas. So these names, I've heard different names of Shrutis.
Well,
where they fit in?
They're miscellaneous. If something just called a something Shruti, then it's not specified what it is. It's just some kind of Shruti. And sometimes we don't know. I don't know what this Paimba Shruti is. Maybe. Anyway, see the shaka, Vedic shakas, there are lots of shakas, and only some of them are present in Kali Yuga. The other ones are forgotten. So these miscellaneous shrutis may just be fragments of missing shakas. Something that belongs to some Veda, but we don't have the Veda it belongs to. So sometimes they're not identifiable, except for by the, you know, name something or something, Shruti. But sometimes the Upanishads themselves are called Shruti, the Shruti. Like Madhyandina Shruti means the Chandogya Upanishad in the Madhyandina version.
Which is quoted in that person.
It is, yeah. But that is really just the fancy name of the version of the Chandogya Upanishad that appears in the Madhyandina Shaka. So Shruti is a very general term. Sometimes we're given it just because we don't know exactly what it is. And I don't know what the point of Shruti is, I have no idea. Some sage, Painda, is connected with it. Anything else? Absolute Supreme Brahman.
So how do you understand what is purpose?
No, no, but Rat Pranam. Oh. Well, okay. Thing is, I've taken this translation from our BBT 11th canto. Maybe we have to modify it a little bit here to make it more appropriate. Parat Param means supreme beyond the supreme. But the thing is, that's a little illogical. If it's supreme, then there's nothing beyond it. If it's really supreme. It's like, you know, you think something's supreme, but there's really something more supreme. But, therefore, say absolute supreme. That means it's really the supreme. It's not just we think it's the supreme. It's really the supreme. Absolute supreme. I think the idea is good. You have a problem with it, though?
And this word, Brahma, is translated as
Brahman, absolute supreme Brahman. Oh, absolute supreme is Parat Param, and then Brahman is Brahman.
Together all the words, one Parat Param Brahma is one
three
full,
words, yeah.
One full word, it refers to one full word, Parat Param Brahma.
No, it's three words. Param would be an adjective of Brahma.
Okay.
Like you see how we hear about Para Brahma. Because Brahman has various aspects, but this is the highest aspect of Brahman. So I think the translation is okay.
The
only thing that's not really indicated is supreme beyond the supreme. But that gets confusing. What happens if something, if something's really the supreme, how can something else be beyond it? I think the translation is okay, especially since all we need to do is give more corroboration that Brahman is an opulence of the Supreme Person. That's all we're really talking about.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have to be fussy about Parat Param here.
Yeah. This, I was told as the same when we mentioned the translation, expansion of you. But here the word is Vibhuta Yaha, so that is the Bhuta same.
translated that?
The word vibhutayana.
Yes.
The expansion also include, is meant in the translation? Amunacharya says expansion.
In the translation?
Yes, yeah, I'm using the word expansion.
I'm sorry, yes, and that's translating vibhuti.
It is there, the expansion is there in the original text also.
It's just vibhuti.
Yeah, so
it's my translation of the word vibhuti. Are you saying that it's not really the meaning of vibhuti?
No, the word expansion came from which word?
Vibhuti. I translated the word vibhutayaha as opulent expansion. Okay. I think I borrowed that from Prabhupada. He uses that for a translation of vibhuti. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This verse is not mentioned because
I don't know. It's by an Imanacharya, but I don't know where it comes from. I have a comment here asking what's the reference. If you know, if you can find it, let me know.
Okay.
Somewhere in your Imanacharya's poems.
Yeah.
Okay. It just means I haven't looked, because I'm not familiar with Imanacharya's works, so I don't know where to look. If you can find it.
Yeah.
Yes, but then we're referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Parāparam. But it says here Parāparam Brahma. Brahma, which is Parāparam. It's almost certain that. Oh, well, I think Parāparam Brahma is one thing.
Yeah, one word.
Well, not technically one word, but it's a phrase. Or you want to take Parāparam to be one thing and Brahma to be another thing? But then you have Krishna and then Brahman after Krishna. Otherwise everything's in order here. We start from the material universe, then we proceed to more subtle things, the things inside the universe, and then the coverings around the universe, and then the abstract modes of nature, and then materially we're proceeding up and up to higher, more subtle, you know, entities. Why would we list Krishna and then Brahman after him, unless we were Mayavadis? You know, if Parāparam is Brahma, is Krishna, and Brahma is Narayan, and Brahma is the impersonal, they're not in the right order, according to this verse.
So this verse
I take Parāparam Brahma to be one thing, one element on the list. It's Brahma, which is Parāparam.
Mm-hmm. And the previous verse was Parāparam. So
Parāparam
means.
Where?
It's a.
Not previous verse, same verse.
Yeah. Oh.
Are you looking at the Pāṅgaśruti or at the. I'm looking at. I wasn't looking at the Pāṅgaśruti. I was looking at the Imanacharya verse.
Yes.
And it says Parāparam Brahma in that verse.
Yeah, but.
Okay, so we have, in the translation, I think it sorts it out correctly. Her controlling Lord, that's Purusha. His supreme abode is Parampadam. The Lord, his supreme abode, and then Brahman last.
But who is
the
supreme
abode? Okay, it is out of order. We do have Brahman at the end of the list after Narayan, anyway. Yes, I'm sorry?
So, does it mean that the Supreme Lord is controlling this Purusha as Krishna, and then you have
It specifies here the controller of material nature. That's Narayan. No? Narayan Uparo Vyaktat. He's the superior to Avi, or Pradhan. It's Mahavishnu. Glances at Pradhan.
I think that even Mahavishnu is a more Krishna than
Mahavishnu.
personal forms really has to be able to say greater than Brahman, it's about Brahman personal.
Definitely, definitely, yes. Yeah, the order, what I've said about the order isn't true. The order is, the order breaks down at the end anyway, because Brahman comes last. Sorry, I didn't write the verse. Yeah, yeah, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, here. Purusha, that's Narayan, or Mahavishnu, Param Padam, Vaikuntha, Param Brahma is last on the list. Not necessarily, really. I mean, maybe the Sri Vaishnavas take it to be in Vasudeva, the Mahavasudeva, maybe.
But what we are referring
to,
what is
on the... Jiva Goswami is talking about Brahma, personal Brahma. Mm-hmm. So that's how he's interpreting it.
Mm-hmm. But if we can take Purusha, Padam, Lord Shiva, who is in...
Wait, you're putting Purusha, Padam into one as one thing. There are different genders. If it was Paraha Purusha, masculine, but Paramvai, it seems like they're two different things. Purusha is one thing, whatever it is, and Parapadam is another thing. And don't think we need. Lord Shiva is called Ishvara, but he's not called Purusha.
This translation is Prabhupada?
No, it's mine. I don't think Prabhupada quotes this verse. It's my translation, therefore, if there's something wrong with it, we can fix it.
Should we look at their commentary, their translation?
You can. Yeah. I mean, if you want to do it, I have access to it. Right. Maybe we move into 90. And now we're in the 90s. There's only 101 anuchets in the book. But there's some long anuchets coming up. Okay. Ato Brahma Rupe Prakashe Tad Vaishishtas Anupamam Manat Tad Prabha Lakshanatvam Abhitasya Vyamadishyate. Thus, since his particular qualities are not perceived in his manifestation as Brahman, but maybe his doesn't refer to anything in there. Yeah, it would be Yamunacharya is, I think we have to say the Supreme Lord's. Because his, what does his refer back to? The only thing we have in the previous verse is Yamunacharya. Since the Supreme Lord's particular qualities are not perceived in his manifestation as Brahman, Brahman is characterized as his effulgence in such statements as the following. Okay, now we're going to talk about how Brahman is the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. And the reason why it's said to be, Yuga Swami is telling us, is because his particular qualities are not perceived. Therefore, Brahman is considered to be his effulgence. Anyway, the statement is, Yasya Prabha. No, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. It said, Rupam Tad. Yat tat prahur avyaktamau dhyam brahma jyoti. Oh, where is that? 13. That's Bhagavatam 10.3. And means that form which is called the unmanifest original truth, the light of Brahma. Now, is this maybe Vasudeva offering prayer to Krishna? Just got born? Ten 3:24. Let me find it. Ah, it's in the commentary right here. It's David speaking. Yeah. It's David. Okay, and then Brahmaiva. Okay, a little bit of commentary on this. Brahmaiva Jyoti, because she's addressing Krishna, the baby who just got born, and addressing him as Brahma Jyoti. Brahmaiva Jyoti Prabha Yasya Tathabhutam Rupam Sri Vigraham. Curious, why is she calling him Brahma Jyoti? The idea is, his form, his divine body, has as its effulgence the light which is Brahma. Brahma, in other words, the Bhavrihi. The light of whom is Brahman. So that's saying his effulgence is Brahman. Tata choktam Brahma Samhitaya. This is also stated in the Brahma Samhita. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti koti shvashesha vasudari vibhuti bhinna tad brahma nishkalamanam tamashesha bhutam govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami iti. This is also stated in the Brahma Samhita. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who, from whose radiant effulgence expand as separate entities all the planets, earth, and so on, and all the other opulences of the endless creation. That effulgence is the non-differentiated, unlimited Brahma in which everything exists. This is, since my translation. Oh, I guess I made my own translation of this. Excuse me for that. We already have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's translation, we have Prabhupada's translation in the CC, and I made another translation. Sri Devaki, Sri Bhagavanta. The verse under discussion was spoken by Sri Devaki to the personality of Godhead. Commentary. When Devaki addressed these prayers to Krishna, he had just taken birth from her and was standing before her in her is form of Vishnu, with four arms. In the verse cited here, the first she spoke, this is the first of Devaki's prayers. She identified the personality of Godhead she was now seeing as non-different from the formless Brahman, which is actually his effulgence. You might ask, or we don't ask because we accept it from Prabhupada, but somebody might ask, why do we say Brahman is the effulgence of the body of God? Brahman doesn't have any form. Why do we say it has the form of light? And why particularly light from Krishna's body? But there is scriptural support for this, just like Devaki just said it, that Brahman is your light, the light coming from you. Yes.
Vishnu Devaki could receive it or understand. Is it her realization or she just heard it from some scriptures?
Oh, that's a good question. But I don't know. Whether she realized it herself or whether she heard it from the authorities. Yeah, but we don't always have the information. Very often some devotee offers a prayer, we don't know where he got his ideas from, always. They don't put footnotes in their prayers, listing their sources. Yeah, it's not a university dissertation.
He understood that she was being so Krishna appeared.
Yeah.
She
we don't know, and she's a a royal princess, so she probably has some Shastric education too. Don't know. I would say that this is fairly common knowledge among people who are actually educated in Vedic literature that Brahman is the effulgence of the personality of God. I don't think it's such rarely known information. She must have learned that in school. We're wondering because nobody ever told us in school such things.
And also, I remember it was mentioned that Krishna appeared in this forearm form before Devaki, so they were not able to believe them that he is a Supreme Lord. And then he assumed this two arms.
Right.
So they wanted to see him.
Yes. For them it was important, for Yashoda and Nanda, such a thing wasn't important. They didn't care. But it's a little harder for Vasudeva and Devaki to have Krishna as their son because they have too much respect. Yeah, I mean, you know, the real power behind her prayers is Krishna's inspiration. He's inspiring her to pray. Okay. Anything else?
Approving the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Parabrahma, Paramdhamma. Is actually addressing Krishna as in a different context, or here it's the same, but like Atma refers to body, mind, soul. Similarly, this.
Well, Parabrahma. Yeah. If you just say Param and then identify that Param is Brahma, that's one thing. But if you use para as an adjective and say among all the different Brahmans, you're the supreme Brahman, that's what Arjuna is saying. Arjuna is using Brahman as an adjective, modifying Brahma, not as an apposition. It doesn't mean Brahma and Param and Brahma are the same, but then there's different manifestations of Brahma, and Krishna is para Brahma, the supreme manifestation of Brahma. That's what Arjuna is saying. Okay. If you don't mind, we'll end a little early today. I'm a little indisposed, the better I prepare myself for the next class. So, if we don't have any more comments, we'll stop. Yeah.
I just got this question. This every personality is, it's like this Brahma. Brahma is effulgence of Krishna. So there is effulgence of Radha, there is effulgence of other devotees. So what about that?
Well, yes. Well, effulgence is a subtle energy. You know, the mystics can see a person's aura. You know, and everybody's got some aura, and a yogi can see it. But a great saint or a powerful person or an avatar has got a really big aura, a really powerful aura. That we see in the Christian icons and, you know, paintings, they put the halos around the saints or around Jesus. And we got halos here too, around some of ours. But I saw some. We don't usually put halo around Prabhupada, but I saw a picture of
Prabhupada.
Big,
I think, denied to put that.
Yes?
Prabhupada denied to put that.
Yeah, he didn't want it. You know, that's, cause that makes sort of mark him as an avatar, to have a visible halo. Yeah. But everybody's got, everybody, you know, they have this Carillion.
The corresponding picture, the original one, got that.
Yeah, they got, okay. Yeah, because they're, you know, reading associates and the gopis. I don't think Prabhupada objected to that. Six Goswamis having halos. Everybody's got some aura, though. I mean, it's an energy, subtle energy emanating from the body. And some Russian guy, Kirill, or somebody made a camera that can take photographs of it. Yeah. And I remember in the Druskininkai, Lithuania, the devotees were refusing to eat the prasadam, because somebody saw that the cook had a black aura, because they didn't want to eat the prasadam. But then you get a lot of mystics in Soviet Union.
I remember also, yes.
Yes. It's off the scale.
Yeah.
The effulgence of the prasadam.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and that was the end of the prasadam. Okay. Yes?
But we didn't finish the effulgence of Radha.
Yeah, this Radha's
that's, see, yes, it is. And that's the origin of the golden complexion of Lord Chaitanya. You want me to give a subtle explanation of Radha, Srimati Radharani's fault? I'm not an expert on that.
No, I just wanted to know ki what happens with their effulgence. Like Krishna's effulgence, all the planets are floating.
Oh, actually, so what's the cosmic product of Srimati Radharani? I don't know. Maybe it's mentioned somewhere, maybe. You know about Srimati Radharani's effulgence, how it creates something? No, I don't know. So, I mean, information might be somewhere about that, I don't know. Maybe.
Also, Krishna says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I am the source of all
Shivas.
No.
Of all lights. Yes. Yes. Okay, but she's got her own effulgence, which is special, and therefore Krishna borrows that effulgence in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Okay, that's it. Okay. Can I quote you on that? I understand. Om Gauri Shri Rupa Bhagavan Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you.